Now, another BloomerBoomer.com podcast. Your host, Andy Asher, living life over 55. Do you remember when?
Do you remember when?
Do you remember when?
The scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found. And over the last 21 years, I have found loyalty. You have pulled for me on the court and also in life.
Considered one of the most dominant tennis players ever to play the game, Andre Agassi retiring from the game on September 3rd, 2006. Like so many things about Medicare, it is complicated, so that's when I like to seek out the experts. Today we have just that. She is Rebecca Rabbit, who has played a vital role in the development of Express Scripts' Medicare Part D prescription drug plan. She is also a senior director of product management of that company. Rebecca holds a doctorate in pharmacy. Needless to say, Rebecca, she prefers to be called Becky, knows her stuff. But for me, well, sometimes I just prefer the simple questions. So, Becky, what I think may perplex a lot of people is, what is the so-called donut hole in Medicare's prescription drug plan?
When the government, or CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, was first putting together the Medicare benefit to cover drugs, which was clearly a gap in what Medicare was offering for many years, of course, they had a fixed pot of money that they were going to be able to pull together for this benefit, and they looked how could they use that money and provide a maximum benefit to the greatest number of individuals across the country. And, of course, they couldn't cover everything for everybody, so they constructed a benefit that the vast majority would benefit from. And so that meant that coverage had to stop at a certain point. But there were also these catastrophic cases that, of course, nobody wanted to deny or not be able to provide help for those individuals that had very expensive health conditions, were challenged with having the only medication that would treat their condition was something that was very, very expensive. Could there be some sort of a catch-all to help those people that were at the far end of drug expenses? And that's why we had some catastrophic coverage when people's expenditures got into the thousands of dollars per year. And that meant that for the most people whose coverage really doesn't exceed maybe $3,000 a year, to those whose coverage really exceeds $5,000 or $6,000 a year, there wasn't much coverage left, and that became known as the donut hole or the coverage gap. That lasted for a couple of years until the Affordable Care Act was passed, and then the government and the pharmaceutical manufacturers and the health plans were able to come up with a way, although it's progressive and it's over time, of being able to close that gap. So by 2020, the coverage gap should be closed. There should be no more donut hole. But until we get there, there's going to be kind of a phased-in approach. So what beneficiaries have experienced since the Affordable Care Act passed is that, for example, brand medications didn't cost them as much because half of that cost was being covered by the pharmaceutical manufacturers. And over time, that's going to decrease till eventually they will have nearly full coverage for those medications. Same is true for generics, but as we know, generics cost a lot less than brands, and so while they're paying less for their generics as well, it may not feel as impactful as what they're feeling on brand medications.
Right, so between now and the time that donut hole closes up, what might be some advice that you could share for people who need to plan those costs and how they might plan for themselves to make it most affordable?
Sure. We can talk a little bit at some point in the interview about picking a plan in general. But, you know, as a pharmacist, I always advocate that individuals truly understand what medications they're on and why they're taking them and be somewhat of their own advocate to help understand why that might be the best medication for them. So really asking your physician some educated questions, which include, is there a generic medication available that might be more affordable for me, given that I might be on 5, 6, or 10 other medications. Some physicians don't necessarily appreciate the full profile of some of their patients. And when they're confronted with that, then they help make a more informed cost decision or recommendation for their patients. And they might say, yeah, maybe let's try something that is more affordable for you, just as effective, and we'll see how that actually works. And it really helps build that partnership between the patient and their physician. They can also use their pharmacist, who's very accessible to them, either via phone or right there in the pharmacy store, to help ask these same types of questions. Are there more affordable treatments to help me?
Great advice. Now, you alluded to different types of plans. Maybe you can touch upon that a little bit more.
Sure. When Medicare first launched the Part D plan, they weren't sure anybody was going to want to come and offer Part D insurance, but they were overwhelmingly surprised at the number of plans that were made available on the market. And while there has been some consolidation in the market, there are still hundreds of plans, and that can be really overwhelming for me, even as an educated person that understands health insurance. If I have to compare 2 or 3 plans, I find that it takes a pretty significant intellectual effort to really get down to the details. And most Medicare beneficiaries have between 20 and 30 different Part D plans available to them in the market. That has got to be extremely overwhelming. So some pointers for picking a plan is to first look at the star ratings. Medicare has come out with what they call a 5-star rating for their plans, and there's probably 18, 19 measures. They do tend to change the measures on an annual basis for Part D plans, and then they average all of those measures together to come out with one overall rating. Some people may be familiar with the same rating they use for nursing homes, a 5-star kind of rating, and it's a similar type of thing, so that if you want a 5-star plan, this is a high-quality plan that CMS or Medicare has determined meet these quality indicators that they have prescribed. So we encourage all beneficiaries to look at the star ratings, which are published on the Medicare Plan Finder website. And all of the plans that we support here at Express Scripts are very concerned about their star ratings. It's really caused the plans to be competitive and to pay attention to the right things, which is making sure that our Medicare beneficiaries are getting the best medication therapy possible. The second thing is they need to take their list of medications and make sure that they're covered by the plans. The plans do have the choice of constructing what we call formularies. These are lists of medications that they prefer that you use, either because they are cost-effective or they are clinically preferred based on the medical literature. And while there's some debate around that, we do encourage plans to look at, or members to look at, what that plan might be covering. And there's a way on the Medicare website you could just put all of your medications into a list, and it will come back and it will tell you, here's the plans that cover this medication.
So they don't necessarily have to go through the formulary in order to get that information on their own.
Correct. It's a really nice little tool. They can just put all their medications in, and not only will it find the plans that cover that medication, it will also find for you pharmacies that are in the network for those plans. So that if you have a favorite pharmacy, you can mix that favorite pharmacy with your list of medications that you're on, and you can identify the best plan that's for you.
So this is probably something that should be done if they're looking at the open enrollment period for 2014 prior to selecting a plan if they decide to change. That's probably the time frame to do it, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Open enrollment begins October 1st. So all the beneficiaries have about 3 months that they can go and, you know, look at all of the information on the various plans. I would also encourage them to talk to other Medicare beneficiaries about their experience in the plans. Word of mouth is very powerful with this population, as you probably know. We also encourage them to look at not just the drugs that are covered and the copays that are associated with it, but to look at the monthly premium and to look at the deductible costs, because all three of those together will contribute to what your total out-of-pocket cost is going to be for the year. And that's what they should be figuring into their budget.
Well, that's good advice as well. It can so often be overwhelming, but I suppose if you take a fairly deliberate approach, maybe you can make the best of it all.
Yes, and there are advisors out in the market that can help Medicare beneficiaries pick the plan, or at least that they could bounce their ideas off and say, do you think I've thought about all of the things that are necessary to pick the plan? And once they've narrowed it down to one or two, then they can talk to some of their friends and colleagues. They could talk to the pharmacist that they work with or that they use. They could talk to their doctor or even folks in the doctor's office to get some additional insight as to whether they've picked the correct plan.
So 2014 will have additional benefits over 2013, or have you been able to find that out yet?
There are no new real requirements for 2014 that differ other than this gradual closing of the donut hole.
And once that occurs, then, that's going to be a welcome relief to everybody, it sounds like. Is that right?
Absolutely. It's a small but growing percentage of individuals that are affected that actually wind up into the donut hole. So, you know, for those members, what is really concerning is that sometimes they stop taking their medications. And that's particularly problematic because by not taking the medications and not being adherent, it usually leads to a worsening in their chronic condition, or it can lead to other problems later. So even if they feel okay when they're not taking it, for example, a lot of people with high blood pressure, if you miss your medication, you don't necessarily feel bad that day. But over time, it really creates other problems with your eyes and your kidneys and your heart and other things. So it's really important to stay on the medication. And if it's becoming a problem to afford it, you can always talk to your pharmacist about whether there are assistance plans that members can apply for to get assistance with the cost of their medications, or even converting to a generic or home delivery, where there may be cost incentives that help minimize their out-of-pocket costs.
And that's great that you touched upon that those assistance plans, because it might be surprising to learn that they're available right from the pharmaceutical companies, and then I believe there's some even from the county or the state in which they live.
Absolutely. Most states have some sort of an assistance program to help with the cost of medications, and then you're absolutely correct. Manufacturers often, but this typically for brand name products, manufacturers will have some sort of a patient assistance program where they can apply for assistance and aid with the cost of the medication.
All right. Any other points regarding all of this that are important to keep in mind?
You know, I think it's, as a pharmacist, I'm always encouraging members to be as educated as they can about the medications that have been prescribed to them and to really seek out multiple sources of information. A lot of us tend to go directly to the internet to find our information, and it should be validated in multiple sources if that's at all possible. And then to really pay attention to how important it is to be adherent with your medication and take it exactly as your physician has prescribed, and to utilize the health professionals that are available to you to answer your questions.
And that Medicare website, Medicare.gov, that's a pretty robust site, isn't it?
It is. There's a lot of information there. It can be very confusing. But you're right, there's a lot of information, and they continue to improve that site to help make the decisions that Medicare beneficiaries have to make easier.
Now, you've done some writing as well as an expert on Medicare and the looming changes that are going to take place as the baby boomers start coming in. How do you envision that over the next 20 years?
There are lots of issues that Medicare is actually going to face as the baby boomers come into the program. I think they will also drive a lot of improvements in the programs because they're a very powerful and vocal voice at constituency. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for dialogue and making sure that the program is meeting the needs of this population. Some believe it's a relatively healthy population as well. They believe in a lot of lifestyle changes, and they're also a very somewhat educated population. So I do think it's ripe for being able to do some unique things with the Medicare benefit.
So it's a matter of Medicare and the recipients to manage their needs both individually and from the Medicare itself. It's probably a long-term job.
It is. It is. And we've made a long-term commitment as a country to this population. Now, we'll have to see how healthcare reform, which is also making healthcare accessible to a lot who've never had it before, how these, if and how, these types of healthcare programs eventually come together.
Now, you've also talked a little bit, and maybe you've also referenced that in our discussion here, about medication therapy management, MTM. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. That's actually been something pharmacists and pharmacies have advocated for a long time and really became popular when Medicare Part D was approved in 2005 and 6. And what the aim of this program is to do is to take the highest risk Medicare beneficiaries, and those are individuals with multiple chronic conditions on multiple medications and have relatively high drug spend, and make sure that there is some sort of coordinated analysis of all of the medications and the disease states that the medication is appropriate. And so really that's what medication therapy management is. It really is focusing on the most common conditions that these individuals have. So we're looking at members that have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, osteoporosis, cardiovascular disease, and making sure that the medications, one, we're looking at drug interactions, we're looking at safety issues. We talk to these members. It's actually a program that is they're invited to participate, and they have a consultation either face-to-face or over the phone with a pharmacist who can help walk them through any concerns that might be identified on their profile. And what those pharmacists are looking for are what we call gaps in care. And that is when it looks like a member may not have been as adherent as they should have been with their medication. And some of the questions might be related to, is it a cost issue? Are you having a clinical side effect? Is it just that you don't remember? And then our pharmacists can recommend ways that those challenges can be overcome, whether it's finding less expensive medication, and those pharmacists can work directly with the physician to help effectuate that, whether it's a reminder device, if somebody's just simply not remembering, they have intention to be compliant, but they just aren't, or whether it's a side effect, and maybe we need to explore alternative treatments rather than have people put up with the side effect.
I see. Well, that's been some very helpful information. Any other points that you would want to leave the audience with? I know that you talked a little bit about some of the taking the guesswork out of the medications, and you also referenced the star ratings. It sounds like that really is going to be a big benefit to recipients.
It is. It is. Yeah. And for those that don't really know who Express Scripts is, we do process claims for pretty much one out of three Americans in the United States. We do have our own prescription plan, and we do have specialized pharmacists through what we call our resource centers, our therapeutic resource centers, that are available to members who need to have a consultation in regards to their medication.
Oh, great. And Becky, just tell us a little bit of how you got into all this and a little bit about how your background in it.
Well, as I've mentioned, Andy, I am a pharmacist. I've worked in hospital, a little bit in retail, and I've done a little bit of teaching in my day, and have been with Express Scripts since the beginning of Medicare Part D. Came here wanting to do some clinical formulary work, and I guess I just got here when the when Medicare passed its laws and regulations, and the challenge was just something I found very interesting. And so the government gives us something new to deal with every day, and it really is rewarding to feel, to know that we can provide valuable benefits to this very special population. In one way or another, most of the work I've done in pharmacy has involved the elderly population, and so that has become a little important to me.
And I guess the message, it's over, a vast oversimplification, but to stay healthy.
As long as you can, right? It's about a long quality of life and not necessarily just a long life.
Yeah. Well, I thank you so much for your time, and I learned a lot.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the invitation.
Thank you for listening to this BloomerBoomer.com podcast. We provide transcripts for most of our podcasts. You can click on the transcripts section of the website. You can also access all of our podcasts on iTunes. Finally, we would love it if you could leave a comment, good, bad, or indifferent, in the reply section of the podcast. Thanks again.